Is he good this morning? Amen. Let's give him a round of applause because he's so good. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, those who participate in helping us do communion once a month. We appreciate that very much. Well, about 30 years ago, as I started to say, we met some friends who have been longtime friends of ours, Carl and Elise Wells. They've driven all the way over to Pullman this morning, even though rumor had it that we couldn't get them here. That's a little joke, an inside joke. We were told, you can't get Carl here. Oh, he's just, I don't think you'll be able to get Carl there. I said, well, we've known him for a long time, and he says he'll come. The whole point being, Carl was so used of the Lord in the Gideon's ministries and in presentations to other churches that the schedule is very full for this man, and we are grateful that we have the privilege of having him here. We believe in the Gideon's ministry. Amen. Grace Christian Center has long stood with the Gideons, and we love what they do. Volunteers who travel around the world to distribute the Scriptures. How many of you understand the Word of God is powerful, alive, and life-changing? It's the Word of God that changes lives. We live today in a society where the shifting sands of morals and mores are just loosed all around the world and to the devastation of lives because people have let go of the Word of God instead of studying it. Around here, we love the Word of God and study it. Amen? We want to grow in understanding it even more. But let's welcome, with a Grace Christian Center welcome, Carl and Elise Wells, our friends.
Can this little book change someone's life?
Amen.
It changed Gael's life. He was an engineering student studying in Peru. Before he graduated, the Gideons was at his university, and they gave him a Blue Testament. And he opened it up, and he read it, and it led to his salvation. In fact, Gael probably became more interested in Jesus Christ than in engineering. Because when he graduated, when he moved into a new community, he set up a sign, mining engineer, gives free Bible lessons. Well, the only problem about this community, it was known to have a lot of witch doctors in this community. It's not the type of place you want to retire. But he left that sign up. Nobody came to his door. And he was pretty disappointed. One day it started raining really, really hard. Water was seeping through into his house, and he opened up the door and he started bailing out the water. And as he bailed out the water, this ugly-looking dog runs into his house, grabs the testament that was given to him by the Gideons that led to his salvation, and ran off with it in his mouth. Now, what would you do? Would you think that this little book was special to you, the book that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ? He goes running after the dog. And what happened was the dog ran to the house, and he stopped, and he knew exactly whose house it was, a well-known witch doctor. Well, he goes, I'm not going in there. Turns around, goes back home. You know, I hope you found another Bible. But we do know this. 2 weeks later, a knock on his door. Standing in front of him is that witch doctor. Whoa. I see you've got a sign, mining engineer gets free Bible lessons. I'd like to have a Bible lesson. What? Well, I don't know if you'll understand this, but one day it was raining really, really hard, and this dog ran to my house, and as that dog was being chased out, left this little blue book. And I just opened it up, and I saw it was Psalms 115 that talked about idolatry. Don't trust in your idols. Trust in God. Amen. And I knew something was missing in my life. So I see you have a sign, mining engineer. Gives free Bible lessons. I like to have a Bible lesson. Don't you wish you had those opportunities?
Yeah.
Man, Gael stopped what he was doing and he showed a scripture about how Jesus Christ lives in the way of salvation. And the witch doctor gave his life to Jesus Christ. Went back home and led his family to Jesus Christ. And the story doesn't end there, because the witch doctor had a niece. She must have been beautiful, a Christian, met Gail, the engineering student. They got married and are serving in Peru. So, we need to find a witch doctor with a Christian niece for Pastor Ken. No, never mind. I do want to thank Pastor Kevin for allowing me to speak on behalf of the Gideons. We've had a friendship for 25 years. He was very influential early on in my life and being concerned about my Christian growth. And I do also want to thank two other people that were very influential in my life. See, you can't be a Gideon unless you're a member of a local church in good standing. And so, and 20 years ago, 1989, I'm sure the Gideon sent Pastor Carl an application saying, do you recommend Carl Wells to the Gideon ministry? And fortunately, he said yes. But I do want to thank both Pastors Carl and Sherry for their time, their energy, and their investment in my life. I don't think I'll ever have pastors who devoted so much of themselves to my life. But it's great to have someone, mentors, somebody you can look back to. So, thank you very much. So, when I became a Gideon, I was at Washington State University and I started passing out the scriptures. And you know, fortunately, when you're at a university in America, the worst that could possibly happen to you is they might say, no thank you, or what are you doing here? You're violating some legal law, which we're not. But can you imagine what it would be like to be in a Muslim university, wow, or a university in a Muslim country. In Indonesia, when a student found out, his teachers were telling him that Christianity is growing in Indonesia at a fast rate. And this Muslim student was angry. He was upset. I'm going to stop this. You know, young people get pretty zealous. And so the only way he figured he could stop it was to go to the nearby hotel. And when nobody was looking and the door was open, he'd take out the Bible, take out one, take out another one, take out another one. He had piles of hotel Bibles. You know, he felt good inside, you know. Every time he'd go back to that same hotel, check the rooms, hoping there was no Bible, guess what there was there? A brand new Bible. And this guy, I'm really angry. He goes, I need to go to the source to stop this, the Indonesian Bible Society. I can't burn it down myself, but I'll have my friends. We'll work together at this. We'll cause a riot at one location and have the police focus on that location, and then I'll go with my friends and we'll burn down the Indonesia Bible Society. So, when he gathered some help, he had found out that the police had killed some of his friends. And he knew that, man, I don't feel like burning anything down now, you know. So he went back onto the train, went back to the university, picked up a hotel Bible, opened it up, where it says, the way of salvation, help in time of need. We try to make it easy for people to find key scriptures. John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that hit him so hard that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Wow. That student is serving as a pastor in Indonesia. So God's Word does not return void. It changes people's lives. And you know, that's why we want to make sure that all the hotel motels have Bibles in them. Because you never know what could happen. In Fiji, in a remote island in Fiji, this man named Frank, pastor told this story in Chicago. A man named Frank went to Fiji to have a vacation, but he took another man's wife. That's something you don't want to do. But he did. And as he was in this hotel room in this remote island of Fiji, he contacted a tropical disease, got very, very sick, fever. And so he called up the manager and said, I need a doctor right away. Well, the manager said, there's no doctor on this small island, but we could fly you to the remote island, to the main island of Fiji, and you could see a doctor and have medical assistance. And he said, please get that ready for me. And as he sets the phone down, which was on top of a Bible, he picks it up and he turns automatically to James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And he reads it to himself. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Whoa. He knew where he could get help. He calls up the manager and said, can you get me the elders of a church? Well, the manager used to go to church, but then all of a sudden quit going. Now, maybe he got too busy with his small hotel. But he said, well, let me see what I could do. And he knew there was somebody on his staff who was a Christian. So they go into Frank's room. Frank, sure enough, was sick. And the Christian that was with them knew that there was more to that verse. He said, if you've committed any sins, you got to confess those sins and you'll be forgiven before you're healed. And so Frank started confessing his sins. Do you think anybody who's taken another man's wife to a remote island in Fiji might have some sins in his life? Maybe a few. And as Frank was being forgiven of his sins, starting to get healed, God has a way of making a declaration. There was a large explosion that took place right in the room. Boom! You know, people were decking. You know, maybe they thought there was an attack or something. But it was just to wake people up. What happened since then? The woman went back to her husband. The manager went back to church. And Frank went to Bible college and is serving as a missionary in China. Wow. God's word does not return void, but it changes people's lives. So I want to show a brief DVD that talks about how God's word changes a life one at a time.
Life can sometimes leave you feeling lost, empty, alone, and words of comfort can be hard. Each time you send a Gideon Expressions greeting card with words of encouragement to a friend or loved one, you also send God's Word to someone else who is in need, here or around the world. It's so simple. Give a card, send the word. Change a life.
I was involved in drug trafficking in my country and sentenced to 20 years in prison. I received a Gideon New Testament and began reading it regularly. One day I prayed to Jesus to change me for the better. I served only 13 years and I went home to rebuild my life.
My father abused me at home. My life was a wreck and I sought help in a shelter. An auxiliary member of the Gideon left a New Testament with me. My tears flowed as I read it. I prayed to God, and He accepted me as I am. Now I'm married and thankful the Word of God was there when I needed it.
For over 100 years, a love of changing lives for Christ has seen the Gideons International placing scriptures in the hands of hurting people in more than 186 countries and over 80 different languages. Every time you give a Gideon Expressions card, you help more than 250,000 Gideons and auxiliary members worldwide send God's Word to schools and colleges, prisons, hospitals, military, police, fire, and medical personnel, and hotels and motels. It's so easy.
Give a card.
Give a card.
Send a word.
Send the word.
Change a life.
Send the word.
Change a life.
Give a card.
Send the word.
Change a life.
Give a card, send the word, change a life. These cards are available in the back of your church. And, you know, one of the main areas of distribution is to children. Children from the fifth grade on up receive a copy of God's Word. Unfortunately, guess where we have to stand when we give out the testaments in junior high and high schools? We have to stand on the sidewalks. We have public access. And sure enough, some parents tell us, hey, you're breaking some legal law, and we're not. But remember that we're all over the world. And in Africa, African countries welcome us with open arms. And in the Ivory Coast of Africa, they had distributed scriptures, and they had a whole bunch of empty boxes these two Gideons had, and they were ready to go back home. They had worked for 2 weeks passing out the scriptures, and as they were driving back home, they stopped at a place in the Ivory Coast of Africa called Lusiki-Siki. And they tried to get directions on how to get to Foxtrot, where the airport was, because they didn't want to miss their flights. They were away from their families. And so at this gas station, they gave them the directions, and they headed on out of town, which they thought was going to be out of town, but they actually made a circle and wound up in the exact same place where they asked directions. And of course, at this time, they were getting a little anxious, controlling their emotions, you know, and they said, can you please give us those directions again? I mean, we got lost. And they said, okay, this is what you do. And they went back out, and then the road seemed to get narrower and narrower and became gravel and became dirt road, and then all of a sudden, the car stopped. They couldn't travel anymore. Now, a second time they got lost. Can you imagine how angry you might get because you're trying to catch a flight in the Ivory Coast of Africa? You know, you don't know where you're at. And so they started to, one guy said, Lord, what are you doing to us? We've served you for 2 weeks. And you know, and they looked up, and there was this building that they knew they could probably ask for help. And actually, they went up to the woman in the building, and the woman said, well, why are you here? And they said, well, we just got done distributing a copy of God's Word in the Ivory Coast of Africa, and we want to get home. And she said, well, who'd you give them to? Well, we gave them to children. And she goes, well, this is a school and home for children that have leprosy. Do you have any more Bibles? And all they could think about was the empty boxes in their car. And then one guy said, well, let's see what we can come up with. And the person went back in the car, and they found 24 testaments. He said, how many students do you have? Can you guess how many students they had? 24 students. And so what they did was they gave each one a copy of God's Word. They explained what the Scriptures were all about. See, we could do that in other countries. We could lead people to salvation. As they were asking how many would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, hands went up. And one of the Gideons, I'm sure that was pretty anxious and impatient at first, looked in the back, and there was a teenage girl trying to raise her hand up. But at the end of her arm, there was no hand. The leprosy had eaten away at her hand. And he saw tears coming out of her eye sockets because the leprosy had eaten away at her eyes. She was blind. But God spoke to that Gideon and said, there's a reason why you got lost. So that you can give the Word of God in a remote, isolated area and help change the lives of students. So we get pretty excited about that. In fact, I had the opportunity last fall. Yeah, I like to give them out to international students. I don't do any traveling overseas. I just allow God to bring people to Washington State University. And so I had a Chinese graduate student who was my TA, and he was Chinese, so I gave him a Chinese testament, and with helps in the front. And you know, and he goes, "This is great, you know, but I think my roommate could use this because he's under a lot of stress, and he's been trying to find a church." And so I said, "Okay, I'd like to meet your roommate." He was Chinese, and so I talked to him, found out he had an aunt in Houston that was praying for him, and he was under a lot of stress because his professor had basically torn him, you know, made fun of him, saying, you're not going to amount to anything, you're not going to make it, I might cut your funding, all kinds of things. And he was about ready to give up in life. And I gave him a copy of God's Word, and he would attend a Bible study, and he would ask questions. Being an engineering graduate student, it was tough questions. He would say, I don't know if God could build all creation in 6 days. And I don't know, how could God make man in one day, you know? Well, it's we don't know. God is God. And I was praying. I was saying, oh, Lord, we're not going to make it in his mind. We have to make it in his heart. Oops. And so Hong Pen went to an Easter Sunday service. big church in Pullman, Washington that always do these Easter plays. And what he saw was the Living Bible. He saw a woman crawling on her knees saying, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I know I could be healed. And that spoke to him. And he saw his need for God. And so when the pastor said, hey, you know, anybody here need God? And I was going, Lord, this could be the day. Sure enough, he did say, I need God. And he prayed. He's still thinking too much logically, but he prayed that day. I want you to meet Hong Ping from mainland China, central part of China. And it's a little dark, but and he's talking to Jesus. Actually, that's Joe Fitzgerald from Living Faith Fellowship. And you've got the founders of Living Faith Fellowship, associate pastor amongst your midst, Pastors Carl and Sherry and Pastor Kevin. And boy, talk about a high. That's probably the, you know, it's a high in my life whenever I see someone get excited and interested about Jesus Christ. The Gideon's International, we see ourselves as an extension arm of the local church. And when you support the Gideon ministry, you're supporting about 270,000 men and women who give out the Word of God, and then they look for churches like yours to be established. Can you explain what these words mean? That's what a Hindu businessman was saying. He was living near Mumbai, and his son, Bharat, who was a sixth grader, had received a copy of God's Word. And he would read it out loud. And his parents did not object. They were Hindu. They had Hindu idols all over their house. And here was Bharat reading the Word of God. And guess what happened to this his father? As the days went on, he was experiencing financial distress. His business was failing. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to ask how many people have ever experienced financial distress, because I think we all have in some way. But he started to think illogically. He felt like he couldn't support his family, and he wanted to kill himself, and he first wanted to kill his family and then himself, because his family couldn't support without the money that he would provide, and he wanted to give up. But what he did was he went to a Christian pastor and said, what do these words mean? And the Christian pastor said, you need to read it for yourself. God will show you. So he read the Word of God to himself, and he saw how much that Jesus Christ loves him and would give him the peace to go through that financial distress. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and five members of his family gave their life to Jesus Christ and got baptized and are serving God in an evangelical church in India. India is our largest country. We're hoping to get into mainland China, but you know it gets a little bit more difficult with mainland China. The Holy Bible, when we take them out of the hotel motels, they have an expected life of about 6 years, and then they get ragged like this one, and we put them in prisons. And this one woman who was in a prison received an old Bible. It was somewhat in this condition. And as she started to read it, she started to underline key scriptures. She began to understand that Jesus Christ died for her. And actually, that was the Bible that she had received that led to her salvation. The only problem with the Bible, you know, it was soiled with food stains, and the bindings start to fall apart. Now, how many of you know that, hey, man, if the binding starts to fall apart, you need to get a new Bible? And so she requested that her Bible be repaired. And so I went to the chaplain's office, and the chaplain said, well, you know, we'll just give you a new Bible. And what she said was, no, I want my Bible to be repaired. This is the book that led me to Jesus Christ while I was reading it. And she had written at the back of her Bible this prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your mercy. I believe Christ died for my sins, and I ask your forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins and my old ways of life and to live for you. I now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart as my personal Savior. I will follow and obey Christ by your grace, making him the Lord of my life from this day forward. Amen. So she got to keep her Bible. So we are in the prisons and jails all over the world. This is a prison in Mexico. And you'll also see a prison in Belize in the back where you'll find 20 prisoners crammed into a jail cell that can only hold 6. And they got their hands sticking out because they'd like to receive a copy of God's Word. Now, how many of you believe that you could actually be in prison and be experience greater freedom than those on the outside,
yeah,
if you know Jesus Christ? And the Gideons are very, very active in trying to get into the prisons, King County Prison, Walla Walla Prison, and, of course, prisons all over the world. But we also place them in hotels and motels, which, you know, someone shared with me this morning how they had the Word of God in a hotel impacted their life. But I don't know if many of you knew what took place several years ago. There was a hotel near the Space Needle. Today it's known as the Best Western Executive Inn. And a police officer received a call saying that a young man is about ready to jump off the Space Needle. You need to get to that Space Needle as quickly as you can. But before he climbed up there, the police officer asked the manager of the motel, he said, "I need a Bible." And the manager said, "Okay." Praise God, the Gideons had delivered Bibles there. He gave him a Bible. And he went up to this young man, and he had to do it in a very tactful way. You know, you got to be very careful when someone's about ready to jump off, you know. He said, "You know, before you do what you're thinking about doing, I want you to read this." And that young man opened it up. I don't know what convinced him, whether it was the helps in the front or if God just directed him to the right scripture. But when he read that book, it changed his destiny of what he was about to do. He didn't want to end his life. He saw that there was hope and walked down the Space Needle. Police officer took that Bible back to the hotel, talked to the manager. He said, "This book saved a young man's life today." And so that's why we try to make sure that the hotels and motels have a copy of God's Word. If you're ever in a hotel motel and you don't see a Bible, please let the manager know, "Hey, you know, it'd be nice if you have a Bible in your hotel motel." Or if you look in the phone book, sometimes they'll have Gideon's International and they'll have the phone number of the local Gideons. And we also distribute them around the world. We give them out to the armed forces. Now we got the new camouflage version. So the enemy doesn't see it. No, I just... Because we started with the motto, arm our young men and women with the scriptures too. Because we know there'll be many opportunities where they'll be either by themselves or in the midst of danger, and they'll want to read the Word of God and know who Jesus Christ is. We also have been giving them to police and fire personnel around the world. And that really started after 9/11. And there was many police officers that received their own copy of God's Word. And you didn't see this on the news, but they clutched it. And you'd hear police officers saying, "Hey, did you get yours?" "Yeah, I got mine." And, you know, it made me feel good about being a Gideon. And then, of course, the main distribution. This is in Venezuela, giving out to the school children copy of God's Word. And many times we're able to explain the scriptures in the schoolrooms. But one of the main areas that we give out the Word of God, because we believe Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." And we place the Word of God in strategic locations, and we believe the Holy Spirit does the rest. This is the lobby of Pullman Regional Hospital, the front lobby and the hospital room, what a hospital room looks like. The chaplains work closely with families. And I had a chance to get to know some of the chaplains. And, you know, they're God's angels. We'd give the scriptures to the chaplains, and they'd make sure every room would have a copy of God's Word. And this one chaplain came up to me and said, "I need to tell you what happened. I know this one family that the husband is in the hospital. He's fighting cancer." And his wife came up to me in the front lobby. She said, "You got to talk to my husband. He's so depressed. He wants to give up." So the chaplain goes into her husband's room, very cheerfully says, "How are you doing?" And the husband said, "I'm not going to win this battle." He was fighting cancer. "I'm going to give up." She said, "You can't give up. Do you know Jesus Christ?" Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? And this prominent businessman from Pullman, Washington said, "Where did you get that? It's in the Bible." And she started showing him key scriptures in the Bible. And as he read this, he began to understand about Jesus' love for him. And that chaplain prayed with him. And shortly after that, he did pass away. But thanks to God, His Word was there. A chaplain was there to share the scriptures. And the sad thing is, the family members really didn't know all the details. And I had a chance to meet with the son and share it a little bit. Chaplains have to keep things confidential. Maybe I should have kept it confidential, but I felt like the son would want to know what happened to his father before he passed away. So the scriptures are placed in hospitals and convalescent centers around the world. If you know anybody in a hospital that needs a copy of God's Word, you know, let him know. He can just contact the chaplain, and hopefully the chaplain can get him a copy of the Word of God. All over the world, convalescent centers, hospitals, a billion scriptures are distributed. It's closer to 1.25 billion so far since the beginning started in 1908. So we started distributing the scriptures in over 100 years, organized in 188 different countries. Now, Laos was the 188th country. November 19th, 2008, not too long ago, they opened up the doors to the Gideon Ministry. And the men and women that joined the Gideon Ministry, one of the men said, "Let me tell you what happened. I was in a refugee camp in Thailand in 1987. And there was somebody that was passing out these little books. And I said, 'Hey, I'd like to take one. These pages are great.' And he would tear out the pages and roll them up to make cigarettes. And he started smoking them. You know, he must have smoked more than 645 cigarettes because he ran out of pages. And he asked somebody, 'Hey, I'd like to have another book.' And then an individual noticed what he was doing. He said, 'You know, this book isn't for smoking. It's for reading.' He goes, 'Oh, okay.' So he started reading it. And guess what it did? It led to his salvation. And so when he joined the Gideons in the fall of 2008, he was really blessed to know that now he can distribute the Word of God. Wow. Printed in 80 different languages, and billions have not yet heard the good news. But you know what? Thanks to churches like yours, we're able to provide the financial support. God touches the hearts of young men and women all over the world, and old men and women all over the world. And, you know, We can't provide the funds by ourselves, but because of churches like yours and using the card program where we've got the memory card if someone's passed away, or thinking of you card, or a card of life, in recognition card for any special occasion, and those cards are in the back. And every card that you send out, the cards are free. We just ask you to please send a contribution to the Gideon Ministry if you do use those cards. So in closing, this church has supported the Gideon Ministry. Your pastor is a strong believer in the Gideon Ministry. And I just want to let you know, you are there. When the Gideons are in Kenya, Sudan, and the surrounding areas, giving out the Word of God, and you see the smiles on the students' faces, you're there. When we were in Malawi, and a woman was crawling on her knees, seeing that the Gideons were passing out the Scriptures and running out of Scriptures, and she said, "Please, can I have a copy of God's Word?" Unfortunately, they had a copy, and they gave it to her, and she put it up to her heart. You were there in Malawi. And you were there when we gave them out in Nigeria. As you see the smiles on school children, these women, these young girls, and also these young men, if they were here, they would say thank you for the Scriptures. Because what happened was, recently the Gideons were in Nigeria, and they gave out over 500,000 Scriptures in 2 weeks. 9 days later, riots broke out. Churches got burnt down, and 600 people lost their lives in the same area that the Gideons were giving out the Scriptures. Now, we don't know if any of the recipients were killed, but one thing we do know, because of churches like yours, it comes from your hands to our hands, into their hands, because of His hands, that many people have their lives changed. Thank you very much.
How many love being part of His hands extended? All around the world, the power of what He does through His Scripture changes lives. He's changed our life, our lives. That's why we're here this morning. We're grateful for what He's done. What a great God. Carl, it's a real joy to see you and to see the passion that you have. And no wonder they said we couldn't get you. You're good, man. Elise, it's really a joy to see you again as well. What a treasured couple. Enjoy your fellowship with them as we close. We're a room full of friends here this morning with a heart for Jesus and a heart for His Word. Let's stand, shall we? If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. We'll be honored to pray with you afterwards as you come and pray. If you'd like a release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, come on up. We'll pray for you for that. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you for that. Now bless these precious people who've gathered here this morning, and let there be strength in their bodies, their souls, and their spirits, and joy in their heart as they go forward to serve you this day.